Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rakari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
As the seasons change, so do our selections. The seasonal selections from King's Coast Coffee Company are custom roast sourced and selected to pair with the changing of the seasons. We take the time to source and pair up coffees that reflect the current season and are roasted to highlight tasting notes that pair with the season on hand. Here for a while, then making way into the next, this is a great roast to try on its own or make any coffee subscriber happy. Welcome back to Coffee and Chill. I am your host, No Sleeves, joined by my partner, Kesso, as always, for episode 18 here. And as we do every week, we start with the fascinating world of Kesso. Tell me what you've been up to, brother.
Yeah, it's episode 18. Our podcast is of legal age now. I got to take in a Penguins game on Friday night with the wife. We went to see the Penguins and Red Wings.
Let's go.
Yeah. So it ended in the shootout. Penguins lost, but it was the second game I went to this year. They lost both I've went to, and they've been winning in general. So like, I'm kind of like a bad luck charm right now. Okay. But dude, I love watching live hockey, and it's just cause you get to see like the small things that you don't see on TV. And one of those things, like watching Sidney Crosby play, obviously he's been in the league for like 15 years now. It's crazy that he always makes the perfect play. Like, no matter what, he's like one of the smartest players I've ever seen. I know it's Crosby. This isn't like a new take or whatever, but just seeing that and just like appreciating it while he's still here in the league. And then Moritz Seider is like the real deal. He has an amazing game. So we did that Friday, hung out yesterday, and then watched some football today.
Dude, football's been very, very good. But recording this Sunday night, congrats to the Bengals. The Rams and 49ers are on right now.
Yes, and then right now it looks like the Niners might win. They got a 10-point lead going into the
wild.
Fourth. I know. I was pulling for the Rams.
I feel like a lot of parlays are not going to be hitting today. But
my friend that was over had the Bengals and Niners parlayed together, so... Hopefully,
wow, the odds on that must have been bananas.
Yeah, it was like a small bet. It was like 25 to win like 250, I think, or something. You know,
that's still
like,
pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's good. You know, it's good money. How about you? What'd you do this weekend?
So it was my
birthday. You had a birthday weekend. Yeah,
my birthday on Saturday. Appreciate all the homies that came out of the Twitch chat and whatnot. I appreciate everyone that wished me happy birthday on Twitter, on YouTube. I appreciate that. Turned 32. So I'm getting up there a little bit old. I'm getting a little bit older every year. It was pretty lame. It was supposed to be awesome. My buddy, the boys, CJ and John Wayne from Alaska was going to fly in along with Regs and a lot of other guys in the community. We were going to fly in. They had their tickets ready. And then my province got shut down until Monday. So we had to cancel that. And so I basically just went over to my buddy's house, tried a new rum, man. So my buddy is a connoisseur of alcoholic beverages, and collects a lot of bourbon, like that's his, but he knows that like spiced rum is mine. So now when it's ever like a new event, when there's like an anniversary or party or get together of any kind, he gets me something new. So we tried something called Dead Man's Fingers, and it was unbelievable. Went in smooth, went down smooth, tasted, had a little cake taste to it, and it was $35. Because I was like, man, this is going in smooth and down smooth. So it wasn't no Captain Morgan or anything like that. So I was like, it's got to be like 60, 70. Because I figured I know him. So, and he was like, dude, it's 35. He's like, I heard some reviews on it. It got 5 stars on the LCBO website. So for anyone out there, any guys that are in college or whatever, try Dead Man's Fingers. It's on LCBO. It's phenomenal.
I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah, it was really good. Solo, which is ice, or ordered some Diet Coke. It was either one was really good. My wife got me a new pair of Ray-Bans, which was cool.
Nice
pair of Ray-Bans. And then, yeah, just hung out with the dog. Really not that much. I haven't been feeling very well lately. Not COVID, but just like so tired today for whatever reason. But maybe it's because I'm tired of shit. No, I'm just kidding, guys. We had new events.
There's a lot going on in the world of Chell. Not the mode, but the world of NHL, Ultimate Team.
It's action packed today. So let's start with the new event. We got the All-Star event, which is one of my favorite. Any of the events that tie in the real NHL to this NHL or to the video game is phenomenal. And I think that when this event was introduced back, I think it was Nicholas's first year on the dev team. When he brought in the, if they score in the real thing, it goes up and the All-Star cards go up. And then the 99 overalls or stat boost for the guys that win the skills comp. Awesome. Love that idea. I think it's one of the more creative ones that EA has every year. And they brought that back event in the same format, which I was super stoked for. We obviously didn't get that last year. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about some of the flaws in this one.
Okay.
So first of all, we got 6 new masters, really good ones. I think we're going to do our rankings. I know they're riveting. You guys are waiting for those ones. I have a video on it, but we'll see how me and Kesso compare. But then we obviously got all of the other cards. And one of the things I loved about the event is that you kind of had to shoot your shot. So, I remember specifically I think it was the first year that they did this. It was like, I remember hardest shot was a couple people in it, but it was like Seth Jones and John Carlson was in it, and I think Weber was in it too. So I remember going back and doing some research on the competition. I remember seeing when he was on Columbus, like Seth Jones, seeing that he had won their skills comp, their team skills comp, and I was like, man, he's got one of the hardest shots. I'm like, I'm buying 4 of them before the event, because he'll get boosted up to 99 overall shot. I was like, this is going to be super important. And then John Carlson won. So I was like, it's really fun. However, the issue now in this event is that the sets don't end until Monday, meaning that you can do the divisional sets and get a choice of 1 of 3 for, the guy, the division that contains the best cards. Now, obviously, you might be able to do that. Let's say Meyer, for example. Timo Meyer from my Sharks. Let's say he pops off and he wins the MVP and he gets 95 overall. You would still have to luck out and do the Pacific set and get him as the 1 of 3. But it's still a much easier thing to do than what it was. I think, in my personal opinion, it should end at 7 p.m. or whatever time it starts on the Saturday. Set should end.
Yeah.
And so you got to call your shot early on, and then it makes, because it really sucks what really the HUD event did. Because I'll tell you this is one of the first examples of the game driving interest in the sport that I've had in a long time from hockey ultimate. Because I don't remember the last time I watched the All-Star game, and I watched all of them since this event was in, because it makes it a lot more interesting.
Yeah, the All-Star game is a thing where, whenever you're a kid, you think, oh, man, this is so important. The players must care about this.
Yeah.
I remember being younger and, looking up, the records and stuff. Lemieux scored, 4 goals one time. Then you're an adult and you realize, the players are just doing it because it's, contractually obligated. It's a fun thing for the fans. Nobody really cares about it. You stop watching it in your 20s, maybe, or your late teens. But I do like this event because it's really the only reason I would ever pay attention to the All-Star game.
No, absolutely. Let's before we get into some other stuff about the event, let's do our rankings of the 6 Masters. All right. So we've been pretty almost identical on the last 3 events we've done. So I've done my video, so I can't change my mind. All right. So we'll go. You tell me your number 6 and then I'll tell you mine.
OK, I'll go number 6. Danny Briere.
That's funny. Okay, mine was Pekka Rinne. Because goaltender just does not matter enough. It's funny that you said Danny Briere, though, because... Okay, so what's your number 5?
My number 5, I'm going to go with Gary Suter.
Wow. All right, viewers, we are all over the place.
Are we off now? Are we off?
Wow. All right. Yeah, we are off. Okay, my number five was Danny Briere. So we're in the same realm there. Who is your number four? We're going to have a debate about this. Who's your number four?
So I'm doing these off the cuff just because I only thought like a few were like good, you know?
Yeah.
Dan Boyle. You know what? Sorry, let me re-rank this. Dan Boyle, number five. Gary Suter, number four. Okay.
Okay, and I actually have to do this again because I said mine wrong. So Rene is six for me.
Okay.
Boyle is five for me.
Okay.
Then it's Briere at four.
Okay.
Okay, and then who do you have at three?
I am going to go Hayduke.
Okay, I have Hayduke at three as well.
All right.
Who is your number two?
I wouldn't make him, okay? I don't advise this, but Pekka's number two. Here's why.
Oh, yeah,
Here's why. All right, we have a 6'5" goalie with 70 aggression with silver post to post, okay? Mm-hmm. Realistically, this should be the best goalie for the rest of the year. I would never make him, but if we're going the best cards and ranking the cards, he's my number two.
So you would really make, let's say money wasn't an issue. This is what the rankings depend on. So money's not an issue. You would choose Pekka Rene over Hayduke, Suter, Briere, Boyle.
Because the other positions are stacked, man. Like, they're stacked.
We'll talk about that. Okay, so number one, we have the same.
So I think number one, everybody has the same, right? Because this is the clear cut best card in the set.
So let's talk about this because we haven't had one of these cards in a while. Jokinen, this is one I feel that everyone should make. Disagree or agree?
I think he's the number one center in the game. I'll agree with you. I am not making him. I'm holding off. I might buy him down the road. I might wait to see what happens with this All-Star game. But
the issue of buying him is that he's like 800K. Because I did the same thing. I thought about it, but then I was thinking, because a lot of people have just been saving their cards, like their untradeables, because there hasn't really, like Linden last event, he was slow enough, but like was still like among the best centers. This one is like, he's fast. He's got the best abilities that you could have on a center. And just even if you are someone who has a God squad, even at the end of team of the season, he could be your fourth line center.
Yeah, I think at worst third, you know.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like
God squad, you're right, fourth line. But
there's no reason that you would be like, oh, I got to get rid of him. Yeah. And I think that's. So, like, for everyone, in my opinion, I think that if you've been holding off making... This is one... Here's what I did with him, because I always talk about in these events, because you have to do the upgrade. Don't upgrade them with event collectibles. Always try and do it with coins. However, because he gets up to 95, it's a significant cost. What I would do is, and what I did was, I traded in my stuff that was untradeable, and I did the last two tiers, I did it with coins.
That's what I did for the Linden too. I just did the last tier.
It was like 300K in total, or maybe it was about maybe 350K. Mm-hmm. But if like that, you know, if all pans out and he's not very good, or at some point I want to get rid of him, at least I'll get half of that substantial amount back, as opposed to just getting collectibles back. And obviously we know that that's pointless because you're not going to go and make another one of these guys for that. So, okay. Talk to me about Suter.
Suter looks good, actually. You know that? Like, he's 6 foot tall. Like, he's not, like, extremely small. He's not tall. Like, he's in that middle range. He has great synergies, like, for a defenseman that's, like, not the fastest. You can get him up to, like, 96 Excel, 93 speed. Good shot. I just, like, there's the headman out there, right? There's a team builder.
There's not a lot of good, like...
For me, like, I've had this regret with, like, Adam Fox, okay? So, like, yes. Suter's an inch taller. Not that much of a difference.
He has silver truculence, though.
In 2 to 3 weeks, it changes a little bit. In 2 to 3 weeks, there might be that regret like Adam Fox.
I don't know who. So, like, if we're talking, like, real NHLers, I don't know how many lefties are going to come out that are, like, necessary. Like, so, for example, like, Hedman is clearly the best. Yeah. The 93 Bomeister, I think, is one of the best.
Yeah.
Gold shutdown, 93 speed, like 6'4". And then And I think it's Suter. Like, you have Chychrun, who's like 2 inches taller, but 96 speed with, I think that silver truculence is pretty huge.
Maybe I'm wrong. You know, I'm looking at this card now.
Does he have gold shutdown?
No, he has gold tape to tape.
Yeah,
that's a little different. He does have Seeing Eye and 1T on his silver abilities.
That was it. I couldn't remember what
that's
it was.
Probably why you thought I'd be like, oh, he's like number two or something. He has a great shot. And with silver truculence, he probably could be like your second pairing for the rest of the year. I'm wrong on this. You know what? I'm never afraid to admit when I'm wrong. I'm wrong on my rankings. You talked me into the fact that he's better than I thought he was.
I don't think he is a must make. But
no,
I think
he's not.
That he is. I think that he is. You won't be upset with him. I think
he's so. I think this is a card where it's like either after like Rivals and Champs rewards, like middle of the week, like after a lot of these are pulled, or mm-hmm. in 2 or 3 weeks if the price drops. I think this is a card you spend like $350 on. You know.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Okay. Yeah. I think Hey Duke is very vanilla because there's so many good right-handed wingers.
There are a lot. Like, you can have, like, that Barzell.
Yeah, and he's just – and McKinnon. And then if you have Kyrou, like Lemieux, like, Eichel, Stammer. Like, it's just – there's just too many. Boyle, yeah, unfortunately, if it comes to, like, trying to make a better team, I think that Boyle is a really fun card, and I love that it's, like – I have an affinity for him because I was a Sabres fan when I was a kid. But, yeah, and then Renéo just won't, like – I heard some things, like some people that tried him out that didn't like him all that much. I think that you have to have gold post to post. I don't know what it is, but it just seems that the feedback I've gotten is that if they don't have gold post to post, it is not, you're not getting the same oomph or whatever. But nonetheless, he does look to be the best goalie.
He does, but like, he on paper, he's the best goalie, but like I tried out like that Koskinen and I thought
that's
like,
oh,
this would be the best goalie.
Yeah.
I've been using that 85 Amelka for like weeks now, and he's just fine. He's
I still use the X Factor price, and I think I'm having him at 89.
Yeah, there's no reason to invest that much in a goalie.
Exactly. So, all right. So those are our rankings. It was kind of a mess, but
even know what mine were. All I know is number one, Olli Jokinen.
We got there. All right. So let's talk about a lot of the questions are. I see a ton of questions like, what division should I do? Like, about making the All-Star cards. And again, guys, if you want to take part in the event, my recommendation is do it before the All-Star game because it makes the All-Star game way more fun. But don't. You don't need to. So just don't do it until after. And I think a lot of people have these unrealistic expectations that these cards can get up extremely high. You got Bella in there?
One sec. I'm going to see if Henry wants to come in the room, okay?
Let's go!
You continue on.
I can hear him. All right. So, yeah, guys, I did some research, and like Hurdle is the record holder for most goals in a post in an All-Star event in this format, and it was 5. So that would be 94, and then usually if you get 5 goals, obviously you probably get MVP, and he's bumped up to 95. So like, I think a lot of people are expecting that one of these is going to hit super hard, kind of like Duchesne did at the Evo cards. I just don't think it's going to be possible. These teams only play max games you can play is 2. So you can only play 2 games. If you win, division, the 2 divisions play, and then the winners play each other, and that's it. Did he get in there?
He's coming in. I put some popcorn on the ground for him. He was like oinking by the door because I think Bella's in the bedroom with my wife, and he's all rattled. So like, I apologize for this little distraction.
That's all right. I was just saying that like people have these expectations. I think that one of these cards is just going to pop off. But I did some research, and the record holder for most goals in an All-Star event is 5.
Is that on a 3-on-3?
Yeah, in the 3-on-3 format, Hurdle has the record, and it's 5. And 4 had only been done like 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
So it is not, and speed's only going to go up by 0.5. So
how many years have they done the 3-on-3?
Since 2016.
Five events now?
Yeah, because last year they didn't have one.
Yeah. I did have a question, and I wasn't sure if there was clarification on this, and you might know that.
Yep.
So 5 goals is the record, right? So like somebody would go up to 94. If they get MVP,
they would just get up to 95.
That's what I thought, because there are people in the chat that are like, oh, somebody can go to 99. Because like I was thinking like that wouldn't make much sense. I don't think they would do that to
where
they
would have to score 6 goals. That'd be a record.
Well,
I think that's why it's set at 95.
Even if they got 6 goals, they would still only go to 95, right? Because like the MVP.
What I mean is like that if they got 6 goals, right, they'd be at 95. It's the only time that you run into an issue or maybe they do something. Because they're expecting the most they've ever scored is five, so they're not going to expect like people to like go and get more because they only play two games. That's what a lot of people don't realize.
They
it's
do.
Like division will play and two divisions will play, and then the winners play. Is he there?
Let's see. There, my room's a mess
watching
right
the video,
now.
We're gonna look at him. There he is.
He's laying down with me. He's laying down.
He just rolls right over.
He just rolled right over. All right, I'm gonna go close my door here so he doesn't, you know, and then I'm back for the remainder.
All right. The only good podcast where you're gonna see a pig for anyone listening in Spotify or Apple, on the video version, we've got Henry on camera. What a pig! That's unbelievable. But yeah, so like I don't know if there's a lot of like investment you can make, because another thing that I found, you know, with the World Junior events where there's upgradable cards, how many people buy them with the intention of selling and it kills the market afterwards? Everyone anticipates their price to go through the roof, but because everyone is buying them not to use them, but to flip them, they're all battling each other to undercut each other, right?
So If you have that thought, like, to finish, let me know. Yeah. And then I just wanted to add something.
No, go ahead.
So with this event specifically, though, like, I think there's people buying like the Larkins and like McDavid, like whoever, like the cards.
There's a couple usable cards, like right already, even if they didn't get an upgrade. Yeah,
I think there's value to be found if you want to flip a card in like some of the less desirable players. Mm-hmm. So one of those is Tkachuk, Eberle, like the forwards that
Meyer,
are in, like.
I think Meyer,
Timo Meyer
well.
Is one of them. So like the forwards that are in like the 50 to 60K range, right? They're already an 89 overall. Worst case scenario, their floor is like worth 45 to 50K for sets, is it not?
True, yes. The other thing I want to bring up for guys that you're going to get this on Tuesday morning is wait until we find out. If you want to buy a couple, wait until you find out from NHL.com who is competing in which event. Because then you get a little bit more bonus for some of these guys. So, like, for example, like, the issue here is I don't think any of the defensemen are viable. I don't think they don't score.
It's not only that they don't score, but they've never won MVP in the 3-on-3 format either.
No,
right?
And they won't. And they most likely won't. Like, you know, they most likely won't. So any of the defensemen, you know, like, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. Like, there's, like, Werenski's, like, maybe 89 speed. Like, I just don't – you have to go into them expecting them to stay roughly the same. However, Slavin in 2020 won the accuracy one, which was odd because that boosted his wrist shot power and accuracy up to 99, which is kind of not what you want. You want to win harder shot, slap shot there. But yeah, like fastest skater, there's a couple interesting ones. Like Chris Kreider, the last time that this competition was run, he missed out on winning that by 0.4 seconds. And if his 6'3" winger gets 99 speed and acceleration, Now we're talking.
Watch out.
Now it's more than likely going to be Connor McDavid. And if that's the case, he goes from like a 98 to a 99. It's just not very.
That one's not worth it. I think if you have a lot of coins, if somebody would have a lot of coins, it would be worth buying up like those Timo Meyers and stuff. Yeah. Because like worst case scenario, you like sell him at like a 5K loss. But if he would like win MVP, I think he has just as good of a chance to win like MVP or score like four goals as anybody else in an all-star game.
I agree.
All of a sudden, that could be like a 500 to 600K card.
No, I agree. So let's talk about the new patch. We got a new patch. The big gameplay stuff that came in was really not really. It was intercepts were buffed in certain scenarios, like laying down on the ice. They wouldn't go through or under the stick anymore. So like that, I didn't notice that all that much, to be honest with you. And then it was like goalie tracking behind the net. I haven't noticed any change in that. The one thing I have noticed, point shots go in. I have been flaming you. Because I have been running on my stream every single day. I have tried crash the net, overload behind the net with that Hedman and Weber, and I'm just hammering them. Like, I would say, like, probably, like, five a game at least, and I just could not score. And I'm aiming low blocker. It just would not. And I got so frustrated the one stream. I was like, Kessler doesn't know what he's talking about. This doesn't work. Then this patch comes out. And I am scoring with like Gonchar, Bomeister. Like I don't know what it is. It might just be in my head, but I'm noticing that point shots go in far side now. Like I'm getting it pretty regularly.
I haven't noticed anything with that. So like I haven't noticed any kind of change with that.
The game feels sluggish to me, and I think that's in my head.
The game feels slower, right? So people were saying that. People kept coming to my stream this weekend as I was playing champs. I got another top 10 finish because I'm so great at the game, you know? Just throwing that out there. We don't lose here.
You also play when the dads get up in the morning. Exactly. So, right, anyways.
So people were like, hey, do you notice anything different? Game seems slower, right? And I try to, I don't want to have like this like anecdotal, like quick, this game's broken, this changed. So 20 game sample size, right? The game does seem a little bit slower. Could be in my head, could be because people are saying that. Pass intercepts, I don't know if they're increased. It's just the pace of the game seems slower, right? Like more breakups. I don't know if it's due to the patch. I don't know if it's in my head. There's that. And then that goalie tracking or the puck tracking, whatever, behind the net, I don't see anything that changed with that, right? So the Pogues goal still goes in,
right? Running right into the side of the net, yep.
That hasn't changed at all.
It still goes in?
Yeah, I scored that a few times this weekend.
Like running it into the goalie?
Oh, no, I meant like, you know, whenever he skates behind the net, L2s, and then passes it back to the side that he skated
that
from.
That should go in. That should
go in. It's a nice goal.
I don't think that one was patched. It was the Gren one where he takes a puck in the corner and then runs it into the side of the net.
I mean, that was still going in practice mode whenever I looked at it.
Recently? Like after the patch?
Yeah, I looked, on like Friday.
Okay. I haven't seen it since, so.
The wraparound goal that I have on YouTube, it actually works more now because it beats the goal. Even if you don't get like the poke check on the player, it goes in cleaner now too. Like it's just like good. A clean wrap. So it's like, I don't know what that patch note was for because I don't see anything that's changed. And I'm assuming the backhand like far side wrap still works.
Yeah, which I thought that's what it would impact.
That's fine. Yeah, but like,
I thought that's what it would
impact.
So
I don't know what changed there.
Either do I. And again, I try. So as like a game changer, we get like, you know, insider or not insider, but like obviously access to the devs, and the amount of times where the community has lost it about like skating being completely different and whatnot. And then I bring it up to the devs, and the devs like, we didn't touch skating. Like it has not been touched. And so I try to keep myself as impartial and not give out an opinion. And then when the community, one person says something, like if I were to say something, and the people that I influence by playing the game, now they all think it regardless because I said it, and then it just spirals. So I really try to give out my opinion after I played a long time, much like you have. And I didn't notice that my slow players, or slower, because my team is unbelievable, my slower players went slower. I just noticed that my faster players went slower. It was like, Linden, Hedman, Bomeister, all this, or not Bomeister, but like Weber, all the guys around 90, I didn't notice them going to slower. I noticed that Duchesne, it was like they didn't have enough oomph. Like they just couldn't get
almost
going.
Almost like they tuned down like the attribute slider, like the disparity, you think?
Yeah,
between...
like I just did not get enough, I did not get a lot of space from that. And maybe it's everyone else getting very good teams. You know, playing Division One, everyone's got a better team up there. And that's a possibility. That's the one thing that sucks about ultimate team modes in any game is as you progress early on in the year, no one is better than McDavid's base card. When you have McDavid's base card, there is simply no one that keeps up with him, or very few. As the year goes along, there's 10 options that have 95 plus skating. You know, if you have multiple of them, then you lose that advantage, which is why we talk about size being so important, because then at some point to differentiate what card's better, you know, if all things considered equal, you would take the player that was bigger because he can bump people off the puck and whatnot, and his reach is longer. But yeah, I noticed it was a little bit sluggish. Let us know in the comments what you guys think. Again, I think it could just be, I'm assuming it's just in my head because I really don't think that would do anything with skating.
I'm assuming it's in everybody's head.
Yep. It just does seem like that. And it might just be we're getting to that point. Let's talk about something that's, in my opinion, completely inexcusable. We still get looping, and I don't think we're ever going to get a fix for that.
In NHL 22, we probably won't.
Yeah, I think that something that is completely inexcusable is that they marketed the game to have one of the main headliner features, whether you wanted to consider it, we'll call it back of the box features.
It was a back of the box feature.
Yes. Yeah. The augmented reality. So that's the graphics that go on the ice and everything like that. They released that patch in November or maybe early December, broke the game. All we got was desyncs because of the augmented reality. So when you would score, you'd get into a sync off where you would just have to wait until someone quit. And there was a one that was like over 100 hours, which I love the passion.
Yes, I remember that one.
So they released a patch as a Band-Aid to just, they just removed that, and there was no fix. But now we've still got looping. And it's a joke. I think that it's, you know, you're a billion-dollar company. I know EA is a very small portion of that billion-dollar company. I just don't understand. I'm not a businessman. I don't have the funds and the money. I'm not seeing
you. You are a businessman. You're a businessman.
Okay, technically,
now,
yes, I'm a businessman.
You're a self, you know, yep. Self-employed businessman.
Yeah, and I just I don't understand how they are just, you know, I understand the sense that they are completely overworked and overwhelmed, as is every sports game developer company. Yearly releases is killing this industry in terms of quality games. But we're still waiting for our next NHL 14. You know, like the 1 year where everything is like, man, like, you know, even the bad parts you see through rose colored glasses, like we're waiting for that. We haven't had an NHL like that in since NHL 14. I don't know when the last time we had a release where everything went smoothly and was awesome. And the community was just like, yes, in all modes.
Yeah. It hasn't happened since then.
No, and it sucks. Obviously, in Hockey Ultimate Team, we harp on this all the time about we haven't with the same week to week stuff is crap. At least they try new things with some of the events, and the X Factors do add a nice new wrinkle to the game and helps with the meta and making some players more usable. Like we talk about little smaller defensemen having truculence, actually allowing be able to bump people out the puck. I think that's great. Goal post to post for smaller goalies. I really like that. But the no fix to looping. And you know, not having the augmented reality, I doubt it comes back in. And it's like, dude, you marketed that.
Like, yeah, it's crazy that it's like there are some things I could see in the game. Like if it doesn't work, like okay, it's not being put back into the game. But it was literally a back of the box feature. Like I'm assuming if you went into the store and you bought a physical copy, I haven't bought a physical copy of a game in a long time. Yep. It was on the back of the box.
Yeah,
right.
It's just unfortunate. I don't think like that's acceptable, and I'm very pessimistic with EA NHL. I think that, like I said, they work very hard. I don't think it's a laziness thing, and I don't think it's a desire to not make the game better. That would just be a dumb thought if you think that they're not trying to make the game better. It's just at some point, you know, it's like hire more people, or you need to hire developers that have the either education or ability to pull off some of these more. Bigger projects that you want to add into your game, like, you know.
Yeah, I think it's that, and I think it's probably retainment too, like retaining your talent in the video game industry, right? Like
you got to be overworked. Like you have to have a passion for this game, like for a game. Yeah. So you know, like,
I don't think it's going to get better. I think it's only going to get worse. And I think it's not just NHL. Like it's Madden too. I was somebody that played every single Madden game from the time Madden 02 or 03, like I started getting it every year and just playing it all the time. And then like the last few years, I haven't. And then I caught a little bit. They had like the Madden challenge on Twitch like this past week.
Yeah.
And if you guys, for the people that are listening to this, if you think like the NHL like game has like luck or randomness in it.
That's Madden, hockey, a lot of it. But
that is hockey. But like Madden is in a 10 times worse state when it comes
that
to
that. That was for like $100,000
playing.
Or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then like the guy just played perfect, and it was like dropped interceptions, football is bouncing off of one defender's hands into the receiver's hands, like fumbles. It was just it's a terrible game. And then like some of it I watch, and it's like I forget what event it was, and I see like Derrick Henry's in a quarterback, and he has
change. Well, we talked about this.
It's like that's not football, man. I'm not even like the like I like football, but like that's like playing like NFL Blitz.
Yep.
And that's supposed to be the game.
So I'll tell you this. Last year, MLB had an NHL 14. Like MLB 21, what they did, in my opinion, I've seen a lot of negativity from the MLB community, the guys that grind the game year over year. But from a casual player standpoint, someone who does not grind the game, I played about 1,000 hours of it, so I guess I did, and I streamed it a lot. And it's honestly my second favorite game year over year. Now, but they had cross console. It was a mess at launch, but after about a month, they ironed that out a little bit. Their servers are worse than NHL's, but
2K has always been like that, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, like they've been bad with it. So like, but they added the parallel system.
Sorry, that's a dumb statement.
But like MLB is like notoriously bad for it. So like the parallel system, where if you use a certain card, The more you use it, it gains experience, and then its overall goes up to a maximum of 5. Just the events, the content, like, it was all just a banger. The rest of the game was trash, like franchise mode and the road to the show have not changed in years. But it just, it was so good, the Ultimate Team mode. They are releasing their cover athlete on Monday, so we won't know as we're recording this. They're doing it tomorrow. But I would say, like, if they put their foot on the throat of the sports gaming industry and come up with another couple of banger additions, I don't even know how they would improve the Ultimate Team, like Diamond Dynasty, because it's so good. I can't wait to see what happens in the next game, because it's
one
just...
One of the complaints I've heard, though, is that there's no real, like, competitive...
There's no comp.
Like,
that's the only thing. The NHL actually has a better comp scene than MLB, which is mind-boggling to me. But maybe that's just because of the age of the player base. Like, you would have to think that MLB maybe skews a little bit older, because the game, you know what I mean? Like, it's very boring for younger kids nowadays.
But it does so well on Twitch and stuff and other...
So,
like,
well, yeah. And that, a YouTube. Lot of that is because of drops and things like that. Yeah. But that's MLB as a whole is much bigger than hockey. But yeah, they need a weekend league, much like Madden or Hut Champs. They don't have any of that. If they add that in, oh, man.
If they add that in, I'm in. I'll get the game.
It is very good. But yeah, so I'm curious to see if that puts a lot of pressure on, you know, EA, and just not just on Madden, but you, that new college football, man, I've seen so many creators playing College Football Revamped, and that's a game made in 2014.
Yeah.
And I am so terrified that EA is going to fumble this bag and not...
I have zero hope for that. That new college game, don't get your hopes up. I know we all remember a great game playing it as kids or whatever. This is probably going to be built on the Madden, you know, gameplay engine, like a lot of the same things going over. I am just going to assume it's going to be like a bad
game.
It's
the franchise aspect of College Football Revamp that's so good. It wasn't so much the gameplay, but like the what you could do to build up your program. Mm-hmm. But man, EA's like franchise modes have just been... I mean, dude, Madden literally had a hashtag and they had to dial... They failed on delivering on that, and they invested so much in the latest Madden on franchise mode. So, like, I don't know. I have a feeling that it's going to be a mess, and I hope it isn't, but... You know, we'll have to wait and see. Let's talk about let's talk about making masters. All right. So what you're at a point now, you would talk for people that are trying to compete in GWC, which I hope to God we find out something new, guys.
I'm waiting. I've been waiting. I keep seeing these tweets like from like, you know, people like Owe in the community or others. It's like, yep, NHL esports announcement soon. It's not what I want to see. And I've just been disappointed. So
I have worked on the last two and they are very last minute. Even when like I was asked to be on the main broadcast, it was like only like 2, maybe 3 weeks beforehand. Maybe not even that. I think it was probably about 2 weeks beforehand. So they are very... No, I don't want to say last minute. Well, yeah, they are last minute for it. So we haven't found anything out yet, but it is confirmed happening. We would have to find something out in the beginning of February, because there is a lengthy qualification process. And now with the new format of club teams, there is a lengthy final qualification process for the finals. So yeah. We'll have to find out something soon. But let's talk about, like, so the new upgrade process was so well received, but now kind of crapped on because, you know, there's no advancement to it. But how would you recommend for free to play or even just competitive players what to do with masters? Now we're getting into the 95 and above.
Now that we're getting into the 95s and above, before even like talking about that, I would isolate like the parts of your team, like, you know, like aren't going to be touched. Right. Like, so if you have, you know, a couple team of the year players like McDavid and Rantanen, you know, those are free slots. Right. So whenever
who would be some cards you would consider that you're not... like you're never taking off your team?
X Factor Ovechkin, because I'm on under the assumption he'll have a team of the season card.
Dude, he is feeling like Matthews, like just needs an upgrade. Like
needs an upgrade. Yeah. He's at a 93. I don't mind him though, because he's like big enough to where he can shrug people off. Mm-hmm. So he's one of those players that's like, I know he'll be in that like 96 to 97 overall range.
I guess.
Maybe
so
he'll have that team of the season card.
So you won't get rid of his X Factor. You'll just upgrade him.
I'll upgrade his X Factor to the team of the season.
Okay.
He's one of those. I have McDavid locked in, mm-hmm. that I might sell. I say I have him locked in. He's tradable. He's tradable. So
you're going to get rid of Team of the Year Connor McDavid.
If I can upgrade multiple positions with him, sure.
Give me an example.
So
that is a hot take.
That is a hot take, right? So
because you are someone that is not out of the realm of possibility to compete for the Gaming World Championship. So
yeah, right. So like, let's say I could sell him for $2.5 million. Let's say he gets a 98 overall. Okay. And there is like a master set. 2 years ago, there was this master set Jager card that was out. That was a 97 overall player, right? Ugh. Let's say I can get him for $1 million, and then I could get like the MSP, like Marian Hossa, you know, that was also a 97 for $1 million coins. Okay. That's two right wing players that are very similar in stats, taller players than him that I think would perform better, right? So like, okay. I think that'd be an advantage. Rantanen's locked in on my team. He could either be the first or second line right wing. I have Hedman locked in. And then I have Burns also locked in. Like, he might not be the top pairing right defenseman or like right-handed defenseman, but maybe he's like second.
Finally, he's been my free one.
Yeah.
I'm excited to try out that combo. Like, I hate seeing it because like gold shutdown is just, ugh.
Yeah. So like, okay. If we're looking like, how do you want your team to look whenever it comes to GWC? A couple cards have come out recently that I think could fill in on your team, right? So like the Olli Jokinen is one that you would make. Because I think if you don't have like a God squad, he can be a very serviceable first line center just because he has a silver quick draw. He has born leader. He has like silver tape to tape.
Yep.
So if you have him paired with like a McDavid or something, like that's great. You're going to win most of your faceoffs. And then I would still just keep like, if they're in like that 94 to like 97 overall range as we move on over the next couple months, like for centers, I'm looking like 6'2 and above. For wingers, I'm looking like 6'1 and above. I think once you hit like 94, 95 excel and speed and stuff, like that's end game material to me.
So let me ask you this. So like Mario Lemieux, I'm going to name some cards.
He is end game, but he's unattainable for most people. He's okay, unattainable
yeah, yeah,
for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's fine. Just say, I'm going to go. Yeah. Okay. Jordan Kyrou.
End game. He's 6'1", right? He's end game.
Matt Duchene.
He's third. So for me personally, Ecky would tell me I'm wrong.
Did you see that?
Did you like that reference right there? Did you get that?
Oh, God, dude. I was like, bro, the amount of comments I got. I don't watch other YouTubers, guys. We've mentioned this before. I really try not to watch other YouTubers. It's just a tactic I learned when I first started. I subbed to them. I just don't see even my man Kesso. And yeah, someone came to my chat and like, Ecky, you flamed, you roasted. I'm like, what are you talking about? So on stream, I went and watched and he said, Crosby was really good, even though Sleeve said he's under 5'11", so he's crap. And I was like, okay. All right.
There was this big Reddit thread on it, too.
Oh, dude.
Even worse. So, like, I do want to talk about that for a second, though. Mm-hmm. So, like, Ecky's better than me. There's no denying it. He's better than almost every single person, right?
Yep.
Like, he is. He could use anybody in the game.
So, like, that is what I reply with. Like, I think a lot of people forget that, like, my stuff and my channel is designed for the players that are below Division 5, and I personally think with my info and advice can get you to Division 1. But after that, I am not an elite player. I can teach you some things that the elite players do, but when you take a team advice from the best player in the world, you're taking it with a caveat with that they can basically use anyone. And it's just,
it's not only that, it's like, so with what Ecky said, right? Like Sleeve says, oh, players under, if you take Crosby at 5'11", okay. Mm-hmm. And then you take a clone of him just at 6'2", who is the better
Jokinen
card? The 6'2" player is better. Like, I don't care what Ecky says. Like he's way better than me. It's just like the 6'2" player is better.
The reach, when you're poke checking, like the reach, the bumps are pertained from hit and weight. And yeah. It's like, yeah, like I don't know what the argument would be. It's not that they're bad. Like, it's not like if you're under 6 foot, you're unusable. It's that if you are trying to have the best team to give you the biggest advantage against your opponent online, then there is a clear meta of players to use.
Yes. But
always use your favorite players.
Yeah, of course.
Danny Breer is an example.
Yeah, Danny Breer is one that, you know, I remember him scoring some clutch goals.
Mm-hmm. It was awesome to watch the save.
Yeah, so like that was an interesting thing that happened, and then a lot of people commented on it, and then, you know, because like I think like you know, Ekki could use anybody in the game. And anyone. also there's the thing where it's like he's obviously accomplished so much, but like whenever it comes to like GWC runs and stuff, like I think EUs have it easier to where like they play on Xbox and like there's just not that the same exact Xbox kind of competition.
Xbox EU is, I would make top 32 in that.
You would have a decent chance at making like top 8 just because like it's nobody plays that console in EU. Yeah.
It's all play, like on PlayStation. It's very similar to like the NA side, cause like all of their comp scenes are on PlayStation, like for like 6v6 and stuff. But yeah, like it is. So when they go over to Xbox to do it, there's very few. There's some of the best in the world will do it, but there's their depth of talent on Xbox specifically is very low.
Yeah, so he could probably use you know, who was that 5'5" forward that came out? He could probably use him on his first line and make GWC because he's the best player, and it's just like the talent on that console is just not as much. Yep. But did you have any? Sorry, we got sidetracked there. Any other players that you were thinking of sleeves or?
So McKinnon.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6 foot. He'll be 99. Okay. He's not for me. I would prefer a taller winger.
Barzal?
He's Same not thing. For me. I just think there's so many options in that 6 foot range.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. I'm trying to think of Gretzky. Same thing.
No. He's never been on my team whenever Dude, it came he to
feels,
GWC.
He feels average to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. His card feels not that great for me. And then, I guess that's that pretty much all, because all the other ones I think are interchangeable. I agree.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to talk about real quick is, some of the Evo cards. Yo, we call Jared McCann. Let's pat ourselves on the back.
I regret selling two of them for like 300K, man. Ugh.
We said it earlier in like one of the first podcasts that we had the event. Jared McCann, dude, he had all the opportunity in the world, and those are the cards that usually pop off. In Bunting, we finally have a rookie card that is like, he had a hat trick there, 90, he's 90. He came out of nowhere. Obviously, you can't do anything about that now, but congrats to all the people that have Evo Bunting. Heads up, Norris is hurt for, it looks like, a significant period of time. So... I would, because man, he's an endgame card. He's 6'2".
Yeah.
And center, and like, I think he has quick
draw.
He was
up to like a 92 now, or what?
Yeah, but he's out, and he's gonna, like, he was going for like 600K.
Yeah.
And I think I would sell now because he is hurt for quite some time.
Yeah, and by the time he comes back, like, there's just gonna be so many cards. So the McCann one, though, staying on that for a second.
Yeah.
Like, so unless there's some crazy injury that happens, he's going to be a 99 probably within a month.
Yep.
There's no reason, if you're still looking to like buy a McDavid or something, like McCann's the same exact build. He's going to be pretty much identical stats. Buy the McCann. Like,
yeah, it's a good point. Like, for anyone that is trying to get McDavid, I think that now we're at a point, if you can get McCann, even if you don't get, like, if you were talking about McDavid's X Factor and you haven't started McDavid's X Factor or his team of the year, you're spending so much where you could just get Jared McCann. And obviously his abilities aren't going to be as super powered, but it does look like they're giving, when they hit 99, an exceptional amount, because they gave Duchesne quick pick and or quick draw and elite edges. So, so just be on the lookout for that. Last thing before we get into the questions, we got our first 1v1 tournament. Was the Tampa Bay Bolt Shell Challenge. I'm the host for that event, so I'll be flying to Orlando in 2 weeks. We're going to have to figure out what we're going to do with the podcast that weekend. Maybe I'll record live in the hotel room or something. I don't know.
So not only that, I have a friend from the community, Satchmo Davis, that's coming in to stay the weekend too. You know what? I've been playing. It's interesting. I've been playing club with him since NHL 09, the first year it was introduced. I was like 15. He was like a freshman in college. So we've never met, but there's a concert here that we're going to in Pittsburgh. So he's going to come stay here for the weekend.
Sick.
And then we have the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Yeah.
So we'll have to figure out, worst case, we can record on Monday or something.
Yeah,
we'll
just record on Monday. So the Tampa Bay, dude, did you see the bracket? So for anyone that doesn't know and didn't follow along, basically for the NA side, this is one of my favorite events. I've been a part of it for 3 years now. And I love it because they include the Europeans. And this was the first year that they separated them, because obviously it was a mess because they included Europeans, but then they had Europeans playing North Americans, and it was a big mess for it. But last year was all online. There was no LAN. This year, they ran it where the Europeans, two Europeans qualify, two North American people qualify, and those four are going to be flown out for the event in 2 weeks. This week specifically, so there was already three people for North America. Eki is one of the Europeans, as well as Hanzalino. Two great guys. I love Hanzalino. I got to meet him at GWC. Met Eki a number of times. Super stoked to see those guys again. But the North Americans, they got down to their final four. So it was four winners, one winner each week for the last 4 weeks. And it was HK, as well as Polgs, who I think is one of the better shots at winning GWC this year. Jose. And then this week was Regs. And now what's going to happen is the two of them are going to battle each other, and then whoever wins those two matches, those two will win. So they haven't even made it yet. Did you see the one bracket?
It was literally everybody that's anybody in the NHL competitive scene was just in one bracket.
So like Regs won that, and I saw Padre tweeted out because he was a part of it, but it was like Padre, Geimer, Gren, Regs, Saphir. It was a gauntlet. Risto was in there, like Own the Blue. Like I could not believe the luck because there was four different brackets, and this one specifically was just mess. Dude, I was like, whoever wins this, it needs to be in your Twitter bio, because that's more impressive than almost anything other than winning the GWC. Like, so yeah. Regs won it, and it kind of surprised, because Regs is really, I don't want to say taking a step back, but if you're the best at anything in the world, you have got to, like, really spend a lot of time and grind, and you know what I mean? Like, and maybe that's a meme, and a lot of people are like, oh my god, how can you play this game that much? Well, if you want to be the best in the world, you've got to play, you know, 20 hours a week. You know, and Regs, you know, he's in his second year of college, I believe. He got a girlfriend, and that's usually what, you know, happens. And it looked like he was on the downswing a little bit, but he comes back and he's qualified for this. So we'll see. He might end up in Orlando. Gren, not there. And I think that the reason why I want to bring up Gren, obviously last year's GWC winner and consensus probably still one of, if not one, number two in terms of 1v1. I would still have him number one. Doesn't make it, and I'm wondering if you think that that's a skill gap thing this year.
No, I don't think it is. I can't speak for Gren just because I don't know like how much he's been playing and stuff. I don't think it's a skill gap thing. I think it's just a lack of like this competitive community in North America. We have four split consoles. This was the first real tournament. I can't even play on it. I'm somebody that, you know, finished top eight last year in GWC, right? I don't have an Xbox, so I'm not playing on it. And then we
you
just
think the
don't
matchmaking
have...
glitch does it too.
Matchmaking glitch does it, right? Like, server based hot champs, right? So like you're only playing people within, you know, your region. Gren, I'm just assuming Gren probably just hasn't played a lot of competitive games like as normally he would in like past years.
Yeah, maybe. It might be. I'm not sure. Cause yeah, I was pretty stunned at that. I thought that one of Regs or Gren, and then dude, like that bracket.
Yeah.
Good God, man. Like, I don't know if we'll ever see anything like that again, guys. That was for anyone that doesn't know, like all the people in this bracket was just insane. But
yeah, but, one more thing on top of that though, like not only like the lack of the competitive scene, I guess, but, I think it's discounting how good some people like other players are too, right? So we know Gren won last year, but he had close games where he almost didn't make it, right? Like he was like
in
overtime.
First round, I'm pretty sure
he was one goal away from not making it that far. Like like I know he won, but like Polgs, you know, Jose, etc. Like all those players are almost just as good as Gren, right? Like if Gren's
it's a
99
tough game
overall,
to have. Yeah,
he's
it's very tough.
They're 98s, so like
to be significantly better.
Yeah, it is. You're not going to win every event. Eki, besides Eki, I guess he wins most of the EU events.
True. It'll be interesting to see future tournaments and whatnot. If Gren, you know, I think that like even last year there was like a top three, maybe four, and then kind of a drop off where it would be like the rest. I think this is kind of wide open. Like you still have Gren, in my opinion, would be number one, and then you've got like Josh and Regs and Polgs. I would throw into that top four as well, and then you've got like a 5 to 10 guys that I think are in the same range that could easily win in an event. Right. But just like in that range. And I think that we're seeing more now, whereas last year there was maybe less in that range, and then another drop off kind of thing. So curious to see as we pick up 1v1. I love watching this game played at the highest level. So if you guys, again, I'll be tweeting all that out and whatnot, but I will be the host of their final event in Orlando, which I'm super excited for. Let's get to some questions. We had some interesting ones on Reddit. So we'll
we
be
had
posting
one that was marked to answer first. I'm trying to find this one here. So let's see. Where was this?
I remember I said, if you're reading this, Kesso, this is the read this one.
Yeah,
on the
right.
Thing.
Where the hell is this one? I know the question was, and I'm just, I remember the question. It was basically, what are the different skill gaps at each division to like attain that level, right? Like at what level?
I did a video series on this last year about like the specific things that you need to do to break over a plateau of a division and generalizing the those things required. So, breaking from, let's say, division 5 or division 10 all the way up to 5, I think that is learning how to take one timers, learning how to use behind the net, and actually what you're looking for when using behind the net, and really that's it. Like maybe defensively not chasing. Mm-hmm. But really, I think that if you understand that, you'll make division 5. Like, I think that you could get up there. After that, like the next thing, really need to learn how to use the L2, whether it be spinning, like doing a full spinorama, and how to learn how to do it. I know you have a video on it, how to do a full spinorama or how to do the half spins and spinning certain ways. I think that would get you into division 3. Because the creativity that opens up is tough to learn, because if you try to do it in game, it's probably going to cause you a lot of L's. So I would recommend you got to go into you just have to go into practice mode and do it enough times where you know what is going to happen when you hit that button. I think, what would be your couple of your things?
So I think you're right up until that point. Yep.
What would be your higher ones then? Like getting
the higher
into
ones
two?
Is more of like the small things, right? So it's like the neutral zone stuff.
Yep.
It's playing slow and playing smart. I think one thing I do well is just like slowing the game down, possessing the puck. I think division one, it's like that right stick movement.
I was about to say that
control.
Getting into the zone, you cannot skate with the puck in front of your player. It has always got to be going left and right. Because that is what really nullifies people spamming R1. So I agree.
Exactly.
I think that is something that you need to learn and get comfortable with. Because while it sounds easy moving the stick back and forth, a lot of people stop skating because it is kind of awkward to go left and right with your right stick and then keep moving and controlling with your left. Like it's a very awkward, if you're thinking about it, if you remove the controller, it's awkward and you'll notice it because your hand. So what you'll see is a lot of guys will just hold backhand and then they'll run out of room and they're not skating. So they'll just kind of slow it down. Then you get bumped off the puck. Whereas players that are really good at it will go left and right, make a cut into the middle, but they're skating the whole time because they're holding up on the left thumbstick because their hands are literally moving both directions. So I think that is definitely something to get in division two is the back and forth with stick handling. Yep.
Yeah. Up there is also learning how to counter the meta. There's so many times, especially this year with like the Rivals glitch and just like not being able to play like people your skill level. I get matched up with a lot of people that probably either watch like your videos or like maybe one of mine that know how to do plays with like behind the net, but that's all they do.
Yeah.
Right. So like they're literally just like a copycat of like a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. And those are the easiest people to beat, I think, online. Right. So I think it's expanding upon that and learning how to adapt mid game.
If you're someone who complains about people skill zoning, that is because you are looking for one, maybe two goals the entire game. I'll give you an example. I played someone, I want to say his name was, it was one of those weird ones where it was like MX, you know, the Xbox or whatever, you know what I mean? They put an X instead of a vowel.
Yeah.
And he scored two goals on me in the first like 10 seconds. It was a high division one guy because I ended up winning. Sorry. Basically what happened was he got down near my goal line and fired a pass that was literally on my goal line. Like, you know, like the meme cross crease, but this is literally right underneath my defenseman in front of my goalie. And he scored it twice in the first 5 minutes of the game. What I did the rest of that game is I took my centerman and I did not move him. I let him have whatever he wanted. And I was streaming this, like, he did not go for anything else, and he kept forcing it. And he came into my chat in the second period, and he had like 9 minutes TOA. I had two, and I was winning 3-2. And he was mad that I was skill zoning. And I was like, you cannot get mad at me skill zoning if that is – you are offensively skill zoning. If you are just forcing cross-ice pass, guys, if you are getting mad at someone skill zoning, it is because you don't know how to beat it, and your offense is all predicated on one thing. Is it annoying? Yes, very annoying, because you're someone just sitting in the middle, right? But yeah, like if someone is only doing that goal, I'm not moving. Why? Why should I be the one that moves, right? Like you have to take it. You have to – understanding what someone is doing is just as important as you trying to, you know, figure out new things to do. So like when you see certain goals, you need to adapt and understand. Like, and that's a big thing from Division 1, 2-1, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like instead of just having like two or three, you know, set plays or goals that you do, it's like more like five plus, right? And then it's just the consistency in that too. I hate to give the guy credit, Gren, right? But like he's somebody that, and he's at the top of his top of the food chain in the NHL, right? In the NHL competitive scene, he scores every single time there's a chance, right?
Yeah, berries. So yeah, it's a lot like, of those people. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. So like if you give those players breakaways or scoring chances, it's going to end up a goal. But if it's more like Division 2 or 3, like there's that leeway where they're not scoring every time.
You have to have a breakaway move. Or a move that Dude, you know.
Can
you
we
need
just
to
talk about though for a second? Sleeves. Every single year, consistently, I am terrible at breakaways. It's the only thing in the game that I'm actually bad at.
Really? Maybe because I don't get them because you're playing good players.
I'm terrible at them.
That's a flip. Like it sounds like a meme, but like if they're not controlling their goaltender, I just datsu flick, and I probably scored 80% of the time.
How to score. The thing is, like in practice mode, I can score them every time.
Yeah,
it's like once I get it, I don't know what happens. I just can't
score forehand, backhand, forehand. Usually, easier
said than done.
I guess. But understanding the strategies and what people are doing is the next thing. But after that, it's a very small mechanics, like spinning into a pass, like you know, doing a spin.
That's such a big one. I score so many of those every week. Also, I do want to say, and this isn't really tied to this question, but it does relate. You don't have to play the meta way in this game.
No.
There's a lot of people that that think like, oh, behind the net's the only viable way to play.
Dude, watch a junior Penn stream.
But the thing is, there's so much competitive advantage you can gain by just playing a little bit different. Everybody in this game uses behind the net. Everybody does the same exact three goals.
Mm-hmm.
Once you figure out how to stop it, like use overload, use crash the net, take point shots, take different shots. Like you're going to have an advantage in winning games just because the behind the net stuff is easy to stop once you learn how to stop it.
If you get down 3-0 in the first period, guys, change everything. If you're full passive, go full aggressive. If you are playing behind the net and you get into the zone and can't do anything, it's an open, go to crash the net. Like the amount of games that you would be stunned that you come back from if you play completely different in the second and third period is wild. Because what do you have to lose? What you're doing, you're getting smacked, right? Like I think that's a big thing too, and that people will just stick with what they're doing and won't adjust. So like that adjustments are a big one, but hope that helps a little bit.
Yes, hopefully, right? Mm-hmm. Let's see. We did have a very interesting question. Let's see. Where's the I'm looking for this one here. So what would your last meal be? Metro asked us. So that's appetizer, entree, dessert, and drink.
Okay. Garlic bread, a fountain Diet Coke with lots of ice, lasagna. And my dessert would be ice cream cake.
Ice cream cake. That's interesting.
Like from Dairy Queen. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I never liked the ice cream cake because the cake gets so hard.
Oh, bro, I love it. Just had it today, actually.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice. I would go appetizer, some good mozzarella sticks or jalapeno poppers.
Okay.
Dinner, I would have to go like a porterhouse, medium rare, with like some fries. Dessert, I would have to go a good tiramisu.
Okay.
And then the drink, like a good IPA, I think, or a stout.
I can't. If I was trying to get taste, I don't know. It's still. I'd rather have that. Dude, I don't know why fountain Diet Coke just hits different.
It's pretty good. I mean, I think Diet Coke in general is better than regular.
100%.
Yeah, of course.
But the aspartame.
Remember, there was a Donald Trump tweet from like 2010. It's like, you've never seen a skinny person drink Diet Coke. Think about it. All right. So we have a question from Bud2790. what we know, knowing what we know now, is there anything you would do differently at launch or in the game's first couple of weeks? I think knowing about the X factors and stuff now, there's a lot that people would do differently.
I mean, we were pretty like bang on with those. Like
we were really good.
We made a lot of coins early on.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, I mean, what would we do different? I would have leaned in heavier during the Evo event.
I would have too, and I put in a couple million coins. I would have, instead of doing Riley, which ended up being great, I would have bought like 30 Jared McCanns.
That's okay, but like that's hindsight. Like
that's high. Okay.
Yeah, because you did go in and you made a lot of coins out of it. Because you'd be like that's. But I wish I would have done it with more people that I believed in. Is what I meant. So like if I did not. You did.
I would have saved my Hut Champs collectibles.
Yeah,
more.
That was when I made Dolan. Because okay. I was like, I got to have the best team. And it was like an 89 early on. And I only lasted like 2 weeks where I didn't. But yeah, the Hut Champs collectibles, I would have made sure that I went into power up collectibles still.
See, I would have stopped with those too, because I think I invested into a few X factors where I upgraded them and then like upgraded them or degraded them. I don't know whatever the term is.
I think that by the end game, like by GWC, the guys that have gotten consistently like 9 to 11 collectibles each week, like the top 50 players, there's going to be one or two of them that saved like 100, and you're going to see them get to like 96, 97 overall guys. And I think that for the GWC players is probably the play.
I still think
the power of collectibles. Like I think that early on people got mystified by the fact that all of these X factors had card art, and I still think having McKinnon, having Barzal, having McDavid, like I still find that I wouldn't have done that any different. I don't think.
Yeah.
Because we didn't really invest in the fringe ones.
We didn't,
told people to not.
I remember there were a lot of people telling me like I was crazy or whatever, because I remember looking at the prices and I was like, somebody's spending $600K on like a David Pastrnak like X Factor. I was like, this is stupid. And people were like, oh, but he's guaranteed to be 99 or whatever. And I'm like, am I the only one that like thinks this is crazy? But like not a lot of people agreed with me then. I think now you're seeing it.
If you get 11 wins in Hut Champs, you can have as many as you want. If you can't get 11 wins in Hut Champs, it drastically changes the outlook on X Factors, in my opinion.
Yeah,
but other than that, man, we've been pretty bang on, man, and we have not been market geniuses.
We never have. This was the first year.
This is the first year. Yeah, we did pretty well.
So Maze is asking about guaranteed rewards for arrivals. This is a bit different from your idea, Sleaze, but for example, let's say Rivals last 2 weeks, and if you get a certain amount of wins, let's say maybe 35 or 40 out of 50, so points don't matter, you're guaranteed an 88-plus pack in Division 1, and then so on, like 87-plus in Division 2. And then maybe every month it increases, so if you're playing in January, maybe it's like a 90-plus overall that you're guaranteed.
Dude, just get rid of the point system and go win-based.
Yeah, the point system is so bad.
It's so dumb because it makes people like the five arbitrary goal. We've talked about this. Like, if I beat you and I won 2-1, I don't get more points than if, you know, I beat some schmo 5-0. Like, it's mind boggling. When in reality, if I beat you, that is a substantial thing, right? So I think it should just be win based. So if you have 50 games, you know, a guaranteed reward at 30 for your division. And then it, you know, there's a card.
I would like to see that. You know what would be
great? You know what would be great? And because the thing is like, well, how do you do it for division? Okay. What I think that you should do, first of all, I think they should remove five divisions. There's not enough of a player base to separate them into ten. Okay. Five divisions. All right. You have such a small player base. Let's widen that gap, because division 10 to division like 6, it's very similar players. The gap is really not that high. Like I said, it's very basic what you would need to get into Division 5. And then obviously, like, you know, whatever. If you're Division 2 and Division 1, you get 30 wins in that. You get a perfect example. You get a let's say it happened to this event, okay? 2 weeks long, you get a 95 guaranteed overall. Could be a master from the event, or it could be a specific card that, let's say it's an Owen Nolan, another card that has an impactful All-Star meeting, but you can only get it by getting 30 wins in your respective division. Now, if you weren't in Division 1, let's say you're in Division 5, and you got 30 wins in Division 5, you got the 86 version that you could pay to upgrade. Could pay to upgrade.
Oh, that'd be good.
You know, let me say, like, that fixes the division issue. And if you're in Division 3 and you get 30 wins, then you're getting an 88 overall or an 89, like, however it would scale. But I think that is how it should be done. Get rid of this point system. It's garbage. It makes no sense. Like, and the matchmaking system has completely ruined Division 1. When you 2 hours after reset, you see someone with 10,000 points. First of all, if they play, there is not enough time for that to actually happen. So what is happening is that player is matchmaking, glitching, and facing Division 9 guys, ramming them 4-0 in the first 4 seconds, and they're quitting out. That's what's happening when you see that. And it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. Ruins the experience for players that aren't god players, and it's just dumb.
Like,
it's
tell me dumb. How you really feel, Sleeves. Yeah, dude.
It blows my mind when there's just easy, clear, logical fixes, and it just won't happen. It won't happen, so.
All right. Yeah.
I stumbled upon a really good idea. Chat, let me know. I think it's a great idea,
but, like, it's a great idea. Obviously it is. I had to, so whenever the patch came out on Thursday, I usually do a 1 hour stream from like 12 to 1, my lunch champ streams, you know? Yeah. And Hut Champs was delayed, so I was forced to stream Rivals. Hats off to you, because you stream Rivals every day. I don't know how you do it, because that's, it was just quotes. You know, but you stream.
I play like 3 games and I just shoot the shit.
Well, that's what it ended up being. I ended up losing both of the games I'm playing just because I'm talking to people. Like,
this, and you're playing Division 1 guys like that.
This just weekly thing that's just like, it's not enjoyable.
Nothing guaranteed.
No, it's not. It's not. Please give us something else, please.
Dude, I would love it. Like, and the system is in the game. A card that you could only obtain by getting a set amount of wins in your rivals out of the 50 games, you know? And what's great about that is if you're a god tier player and you go 30-0, you're done at 30 games.
Yes.
And you don't got to play. Why do you got to keep playing? You know? Stop. Go touch grass.
Just as an aside, just add a leaderboard, an overall leaderboard into the system for people like me.
That would help too.
And only 5 divisions. Here's the thing. With only 5 divisions, it's 20% in each, right? You can only match within your division. I think the player base is small, but it's still big enough to only match within your division. You know, so Division 1 is now Division 1 and 2 under the current thing. You don't have to worry about this god-awful matchmaking glitch. It's still in the game, which it kind of actually needs to be in the game.
It is in the game because it has to be. That I'm convinced. Because of how Rivals works, it hard matches you with your skill level. When guys get up to 2,000 and, you know, 2,100 into Division 1, there is so few of the player base that can hit that those kids are searching for 20 minutes. And I feel bad for good players.
I've done it. I've had to use the glitch because there's times I just want to play one game and I can't because it's taking forever
to search.
But
there is also a large part of the community that is just fully taking advantage of it because of how Rivals is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I hope they don't pull anything from their packs.
Yeah. I hope you step on Legos.
Yeah. So AC Mop has a question. Great episode, Face of Hut and Face of Reddit. Sleeves, if you haven't heard yet, I've anointed myself the Face of Reddit. I don't know if I want to be the Face of Reddit, but
that's a tough mantle to hold, dog.
That's a tough face.
I'm the butt of Reddit. It's not enjoyable.
What are some MSP player names you're hoping to see in the next couple of events?
Got a Red Wings player, for God's sake. Jesus.
Yeah, right? I would like to see, like, a Kopitar, I think. Thinking about, like, what kind of player I'd want on my team for GWC.
Non-master, good NHL players for all events. Good players on the cusp of getting an X-Factor card next year that did not. Kopitar, so, like, Kopitar got one, so I'll pretend, like, I can't believe I'm saying this. Like, Drew Doughty, okay? Not good enough to get an X-Factor, but still a star name. Quinn Hughes to get one. Shabbat was another one. Larkin, like, so I complain because the Sharks haven't got one and they get 3 all right-handed defensemen back-to-back events. I can't complain because Dan Boyle's a sick one.
Dan Boyle's a cool one.
There has not been a Red Wing, like, or a Golden Knight.
Yeah. And it's weird with the Red Wings, though, because they're such a storied franchise. Yeah. And they've been giving the alumni a little bit of love with these MSPs, right?
I mean, Carlisle, yeah, for like Pittsburgh is just like, God, that was
Yeah, which
so
we've
dumb.
Talked about. Was God, the that dumbest, was dumb. That was a terrible choice.
Yeah. Brendan, yeah, if you listen to this, bro, big miss.
I was surprised. I thought this was the event that Larkin would get like an all-star MSP or something, right? He's played it. I'm assuming it's still in Larkin. He's played in all-star games, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Unless there's an event where he's getting a ton, but like, I'm sure Yzerman made the all-star game.
I'm sure literally dozens of Red Wings.
Like the entire like 2004 team or 2003 team or whatever.
It's the 2001-2002 Detroit Red Wing roster. If you guys like, if you didn't watch hockey then, just go on Google.
Famers, bro.
Look at
that
roster.
The Avalanche. Like,
Brett Hull was playing on like the fourth line, I think, with Datsyuk and Luke Robitaille.
Chelios.
I'm trying to think.
Larry Ann, Thomas Holmstrom, Chris Draper, like, you know, it's just a.
They had like
wild.
10 Hall of Famers on like one team. It was just unfair. No salary cap back then. But there's more than enough.
Do one more.
All right. So let's see. So this was an interesting one. Cryptica asks, I have an inclination that the ability all alone would be a good synergy. I'm assuming he means X Factor on faster players. Yet there's only one player in the game that has it in X Factor, Barkov. Think we might see a larger variety of those in the future.
First of all, I don't understand what it does, and it's not clear, which is a common thing with stats and abilities from EA Sports NHL. So do you get a wrist shot, slap shot, deking boost on break? I'm assuming that's what it is.
I have no idea because it's not clear. I would like to see all of the X factors.
The issue, some of them are pretty in detail. Like in reverse, it explains exactly that. The buff that you have from skating backwards is removed. Or the debuff.
I'm talking about, I would like to see the numbers. I would like to see for Heat Seeker, I'd be like, it's increased by 5% or something.
That it's hard. It's hard, though, because it decreases goaltender like reaction time. There's a lot of other stuff taken to it. But I don't think all alone should be one. It's just too situational. There is no way that a gold version, I would want that on a card. Like, sure, it'd be a silver one that you could just throw on.
How much does a gold one cost to activate?
I don't know. No one uses Barkov because they haven't fixed his speed.
Before we end this episode, I am just very curious.
Barkov is one of the most frustrating cards because no matter what, they'll never update his speed on their actual like EA roster at the beginning of the year, and he's just going to be an unusable card.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the Mark Stone of center. And center, you don't even need speed, but it's like so bad that you can't do anything about it.
Where is Barkov?
They treat him like he's 6'6". That's the problem. They treat him like he's 6'6".
Hey, buddy. So all alone is, you don't even, take a guess how much it costs to activate all alone.
Four. Yeah.
Up. 6 points. 6 points.
Dude, what a joke. Oh, man, I can't wait for the Game Changer meeting where they ask us values on that. We are going to single-handedly fix the value system. Wait until next year, and you guys want to run goal post to post, and it costs 10. That's going to be me and Gatto.
How does that cost 6 points?
I don't know. Dude, it must make the goaltender just lie down. Like, maybe no one's activated.
What if that's secretly the meta? And it's like,
it makes him go into the spread eagle every time. So you just are able.
It just says exceptional power and accuracy on all penalty shots and breakaways.
Dude, you're just passing. Like, on most breakaways, you're waiting for the trailer to catch up.
You know what this, also, the fact that this is 6 points to activate, this means it's three times as effective according to the point system as shutdown.
Dude, it's not even close. Yeah, dude, we are going to have a lengthy meeting about adjusting those values next year. Shutdown's costing six.
So, Cryptica, there's no way that you should ever use this thing. Even if you got breakaways every game, and despite the fact that I suck at them, as I've said earlier, they should be automatic for most players because there's a few moves you can do to score.
It's a mechanic. Scoring on the breakaway is a mechanic that you can learn because you are facing AI goaltenders. Unless they switch out, but that's only in the higher divisions. And if that's the case, that's, again, you versus your opponent thing. So it is you like forehand, backhand, or the Datsyuk flip, like getting a boost to those is not going to help you because like you can score them without it very easily. Mm-hmm. So It's all mechanic based, but all right, guys. So that is going to do it for episode 18. A couple of good topics there. Thank you guys again for all the feedback. We really appreciate it. We'll post this on my channel as well as on Reddit for you guys to give our feedback. So if you have a question, look for the episode 18 Coffee and Chill post on Reddit and post your question there. That's where we'll get to. And I feel like one of these, we're getting so many questions and downloads and everything like that, which we love, guys. We're going to have to do a full podcast, you know what I mean? Yeah, because some of them are great. There's a lot of questions that are really good, but upvote the ones you really want to hear, okay? Because we're now at an hour 20 minutes, and we talk way too much, and we're enjoying it, so it's very easy to go over. But guys, thank you again for listening and watching, and I'm looking at the wrong camera again. Thank you guys. We'll see you next time. Peace out.
See you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.